turn with me to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. And I'll not be long this evening. I don't believe. Book of Daniel. Daniel is to me, and I say that not lightly, I think to many, but in my heart, Daniel was, he was a champion. As far as God's man, I mean, being God's man, knowing God, and serving God, Daniel was the prime example of any believer how they live and should live going through great trial. He was like Ezekiel, taken into captivity in Babylon, and brought before the king when he was young and trained in their way. You know, a lot of young kids lose their identity when something like that happens. Did you know that? Lose their identity completely. Who they were, the life they had, and they become that they had been taken captive into. I've seen people, give you an example, that have adopted children from the Philippines or over in Asia in different places, and it's hard to do. Young kids, some of them babies, and you could expect that for them to not remember, but some of them, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and coming to a whole new place, learning a whole new language, a whole new culture, all new customs, all new people. And their life changes. And they're not what they were anymore. And as they get older, it's hard for them to remember that. It's hard for them to remember where they were and what they were and all that was. But not Daniel. Not Daniel. And I think not his three Hebrew friends. And I really believe in my heart that Daniel was a strength to those three Hebrews. Sometimes I have wondered, you know, just wondering, because they're very faithful to the Lord as well. Very faithful. But it seemed like Daniel was always the one they were looking to, they were coming to, that they were expecting God to give him the answer. There's been times I wondered, you know, what would life have been like for them if Daniel had not been there? You know, would they have had the strength that we see? Probably. But it makes you think. Because the strength of one person, the strength of one person, you need to remember this. God tells us as believers to strengthen the brethren. Tells us to strengthen the feeble hands, the weak. The strength of one person can encourage and be enough strength to get somebody else from being devastated in their life. If lived right, Daniel, he's just an amazing man. I love Daniel. When I look at Daniel, I think of Paul. I think of Paul the apostle in the New Testament. I think of Daniel in the Old Testament, and others, many others just like him. Daniel, to me, he's right up there with the rest of the major prophets. God revealed to him. Daniel, he's like John the Revelator. Only John and Daniel did God reveal some great things concerning the coming of the Lord, the end time. You've got to be close to the Lord to get that kind of revelation. Of course, you're not going to get any more today. Amen. It's been given. God doesn't have any more to give. Amen. He's already given it. He's written it down in His Word. And now we're hoping in it. Amen. Here in Daniel 6, and they had been through a lot. They'd been tested several times. Daniel had interpreted several times what God was going to do. And Daniel had just got done interpreting the handwriting on the wall from Belshazzar's drunken feast. And let him know that his kingdom was going to be rent in twain. Well, then, here in chapter number 6, you find the Bible said in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. See, that night in chapter 5, verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, 62. Now Darius is taking over the kingdom. And so, now a new ruler's in. That didn't change who Daniel was. Didn't change who Daniel was at all. Now, over these three presidents, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And I'm going to tell you something. That's nothing but the shine of God upon Daniel's life. God told David in the book of Psalms I forget exactly the words, but this verse comes to my mind where God can bless a man to the point where he is, preferred above his brethren. And that's nothing but the light of God that God puts upon a man. To where people see him and there's just something about him. There's just something different about that one. And that's the way it was with Daniel. When they looked at all these different men, Daniel, no doubt, he stood out. He stood way out. A man of God, a prophet of God. He had an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit. There was no jealousy in Daniel. There was no conniving. See, people in that day, I mean, you talk about some evil men and women that tried to connive their way into positions. I mean, they'd have somebody killed if it was going to benefit them. But there was no jealousy. Daniel never asked for a thing. It's like Joseph. Joseph never asked for anything. But God exalted him. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. What I'm wanting to look at this evening, and we're going to get on down to it, is the prayer of an excellent man. The prayer of an excellent man. And this is the chapter where Daniel prays. They sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, a lot of people would worry right then. What are they going to do to me? Well, it mattered not. I think it didn't matter to Daniel what they had planned or schemed, because he knew his God beheld him, that his God's eyes were upon him, and that his God would hear him. But they could find none occasion or fault. This man was faultless. I believe it was because of the prayer life that Daniel had that made him faultless, that gave him an excellent spirit. Amen? The prayer of an excellent man. That's what made him excellent. The God he's talking to. The Lord that he is faithful to had made Daniel that he was at no fault. For as much as he was faithful, you see that? He was faultless and he was faithful. Faithfulness will make you faultless. Faithfulness will make you faultless. Unfaithfulness will bring fault. When we begin to have fault in our life, then our faithfulness begins to stagger. Then said these men, listen, they couldn't find, there was neither any error nor fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, I'll tell you what they wasn't going to find. They wasn't going to find a heresy about Daniel concerning the law of his God. They were not going to find Daniel saying something contrary to the law of his God. No, what they had to find is they had to find They knew that Daniel was faithful to his God and lived according to the law of his God. They were going to have to come up with something that would make him living for God cross their rule. And I tell you, I see that today. You can see that today. They're making more and more laws that are crossing God's way and the Christian's way, the church's way. Oh no, you can't do this because this is the law. Back when COVID hit, they wanted to shut every house of God down. They did. And there's no excuse, listen to me, there's no reasoning behind a lot of that other than just pure evil. Pure evil. Now there were times that after that first month, I think it was a month, whenever nobody knew what was going on with all that, how bad that it was. So what did we do? We had everybody stay home. That's when we first started recording and putting the service out. I'd come over here, preach to my family, or I'd do it right from the house, trying to get God's people, the church, something. You know, one time a week at least, something to hold us together, to keep us thinking and praying for one another, unified in the work of God. And that, you know, this was not the end. But then we begin to come back. And then there were times that we would let a Sunday go or a service go here or there. A lot of people would get sick with another round. But listen, we did it because we chose to do it. And to try to be a good testimony to show the community that we did care. And we don't want to just make people sick, but I'll tell you what, it went beyond that. And then you really got to seeing it where it was, they'd let strip clubs stay open but didn't want churches open. They didn't even want choir singing. It was awful. Trying to make laws to cross the service of God's people to their God. And there were people serving God that got threw in jail. If it had been in this day, they would have got thrown in the lion's den with Daniel. Amen. That's what the world does. They want to find some occasion. They want to find it something. And so they have to make decrees that cross what we're already serving God, what we already believe about our Lord. They don't want us preaching the word, so now they've come up with hate speech. Hate speech. They can talk about us in a hateful way all they want. It's not hate speech. Right. But if we reveal their sin, that's hate speech. And it's sad. It's sad. But it's Satan. It's the devil. They was after Daniel. You better believe that these ones, they was after him. They despised. He had an excellent spirit. They despised that he was faithful to his God. And I tell you why I believe that they despised that part as much as any is because the gods they had never done anything for them. And he had a God that did do things for him. These presidents, they assembled, you know what they did. They made this law, the law of the Medes and the Persians. They got the king to sign it. No man can ask any man or any god anything for 30 days. If they do, they get thrown in the lion's den. The king signed it. Sounds good. He wasn't thinking about Daniel. And then what does the Bible say in verse number 10? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Now listen, this happened. Think about this. Daniel's out there in the middle in Babylon. And he knew they had signed that writing. He knew what it said. The Bible said, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. You know, I've always preached that Daniel went in there, opened the windows, kneeled down, but it looks like those windows stayed open. Stayed open. Amen. I mean, when you look at this, he went into his house, semicolon, and his windows being open, not opened as if he had opened them, his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, you and I, listen, we need to keep the window open. We need to keep that window open. That's pointed to heaven. You know, we keep a lot of lines going, amen, sometimes. But that's a window that needs to remain open. David knew any time of the day he come into that chamber, that window was open. That window being open, it's one purpose. It wasn't for a breeze. It was so that Daniel could pray toward Jerusalem. Now he could have shut that window and still faced Jerusalem and prayed. But there was some reason that he had them. Listen, I don't think that he is doing it for pride or arrogance or as a I got you, but as a testimony. He's a man up there. Listen, them people over there, you'll hear them at certain times of day, them Muslims, bells going off, and this man begins to pray over a microphone. Three times a day, Daniel, you could hear him praying toward Jerusalem. Praying toward his God. Toward Jerusalem. That's what we were talking about this morning. Solomon's dedication temple. Daniel knows those scriptures. That's why he's praying to God. He's praying toward the temple. They took everything out. They destroyed Jerusalem, but he's still praying in that direction. Everything else may have been flattened and in rubble, but he knows he's a God that's still God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. Notice his posture. Solomon this morning standing with his hands open before the altar. Daniel now has kneeled upon his knees. That means he's on both of them. 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. He not only prayed, but he gave thanks. There's times that he was praying, petitioning. Then there were times during that prayer he was just thanking God. Thanking God. Thanking God. Even though I'm in Babylon, thank you, God, that you still hear me. Even though I'm here as a slave, I'm free in my soul to serve you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for supplying my need. Thank you for being good to me, for sparing my friends' lives, bringing them out of the fiery furnace. Amen. He thanked God when he prayed. He gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. Many preachers have said it. You've heard it. Daniel didn't start praying when trouble came. He had already been praying. He prayed as he did aforetime. When you pray aforetime, you can get through that trouble a whole lot easier. Don't wait till the trouble comes. Don't wait until the paper's signed. His prayer caused him to be a man of excellent spirit, caused him to be faultless, a man of fidelity. Not infidelity, fidelity. He was faithful to his God. Absolutely devoted to his Lord. To go, listen, I'll just skip this month. No. That's what true fidelity is. He was not going to skip prayer 3 times a day for the next 30 days and then pick back up again. This is something he met with God every day in prayer, and he wasn't going to let any man or anything stop him from meeting with his God. Amen. Too many times we are hindered. We let things stop us. I've told you this here before, and I'm trying to hurry. Honestly, I am. My granddaddy, I remember many a time, and he wasn't. People knew how he was, and they understood. They knew the kind of man that he was, and the relationship that he had with God. He wasn't being inconsiderate, but when people came to his house, if they came and it was time, a normal time, that he would go back and pray, because all through the day he prayed. Back in that bedroom, he'd go and he'd shut the door and he'd pray. And he'd do that several times a day, whether you were there or not. And if you were there one of them times, he needed to go pray. He'd make sure whoever it was sitting there had everything they needed. Are you hungry? You need something? You want something to drink? Are you comfortable? I mean, he would just go down the list. And he'd say, excuse me for just a little bit. He'd be back in that prayer room. So he wasn't being inconsiderate. And he sure wasn't trying to show off. He wasn't going to let, listen, even their desire for fellowship, he wasn't going to let that hinder him from his fellowship with God. We can't let even sometimes good things hinder our fellowship with God. Amen? I mean, listen, I'd love to hold my grandbabies every day, all day long. But as much as I love them, want to squeeze them, pinch them, kiss them, bite them, chew on them. Any other grandparents that way? You like to chew on their ears and chew on their toes. And I love petting them little old babies. I'm telling you, they're just precious. I just want to just squeeze the daylights out of them. But listen, as much as I love that, and it's a good thing, being Papaw, there's times I've got to slip away and I've got to go pray. There's times I have to go and open God's Word, regardless of what everybody else is doing, and get something, if it's not but for a brief moment. Are you listening to me? He didn't let anything hinder him. He did it as aforetime. Now, let me give you this one last thing. I've got a whole list of things, the power of this prayer, the power of his faith, the power of his God. Look at then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The thing is true, he said. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, not just Daniel, but that Daniel. You know that Daniel? That's the way they said it. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. I love verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. He was found praying. Brother Milton Taylor preaches on prayer a lot, and he'll say, will I find you praying? Shall I find you praying? He's made that statement. Shall I find you praying? Daniel was found praying. Well, that's a good way to be found if you're going to be found. Amen? He wasn't found unfaithful. He wasn't found closing his windows. He wasn't found shaking and knocking his knees. He was found praying. He is just as... Listen, this man, the power of his relationship with his God drove all perfect love, casts out fear. Do you know that? I believe Daniel loved his God. And that's why they found him praying. He loved his God and his time with God more than he did his very life. Amen. All right, I'm done. I could go on and on and on. I love this book. I love this.